if anything, I want to get weirder and weirder as this show goes on. Hello, welcome to the Swore Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak, very close to the year. Don't know at this point. And I'm joined by, it's the 40K Jason Show. I'm joined by Mr. Val, Hufflefinger, and the Falcon.
Kaka.
I hope you are both well. That's the first question I'm going to be. Hello, Twitch chat. Love your time winning. Thank you for resubscribing. I hope your day is full of plunder and joy. Falcon, how you been? What's been going on?
How you been? Doing okay.
Living my dream. Deleted my social media accounts.
Oh,
just dreaming it up. Well, no, I just deactivated a bunch of them just because I don't need them. What am I doing? What am I doing on the internet?
What social media did you rule out?
That's really about it.
Yeah, which ones did you delete?
The Facebooks. Mm-hmm. Facebooks is gone, other than Messenger, just so that I can get to find out if I'm actually supposed to wake up for this show in the morning. it's really the only reason why it's there now. I deleted the Instagrams, which I never used anyway. There's not a single picture. I don't know how to use a camera. So easy peasy that one. I kept Twitter because I need to see Tom Layton's terrible takes on Warhammer 40K.
So bad.
Like, absolutely the worst. Don't know how this guy... He just declared that he retired. Not sure from what. Not sure you can actually just do that. Anyway. He's no Josh Death. He just can't do that. You just can't declare retirement.
I think he declared retirement. I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did.
He did. He's a pundit now. Said it.
That's a bit of a shame because I actually wanted to invite you to my new, well, not my new, but the new social media app I've just joined.
Oh, is it Parler?
It's not Parler.
I didn't know that was back.
Although I had a fun time on Parler. I had a fun time on Parler the past few weeks just screaming how happy I was that Rush Limbaugh was dead. But unfortunately, weirdly, the place of free speech didn't allow me to carry on saying that. So weird how that works.
Parler's back?
Hosted on a Russian server.
Amazing. Hey, maybe we could like start like a Wahapedia Parler group.
Oh, I got my hoodie finally from Las Vegas and Open.
Oh, let me see.
Came to the Arctic. It's really nice. It's really warm. I'm going to tell you guys this. You can't buy it anymore, so this isn't chilling. This thing is fucking warm. I went outside yesterday, just this. Oof. Pair of skivvies because I had to take the garbage out. Didn't give a crap. Well, whatever. Living my dream. So
didn't
warm.
Didn't give a crap. How topical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's again. You've given me another opportunity for my segue. Thank you so much. Was that if you wanted to join a new social media website with me? I've invited Val and you. I've sent you both a link in the chat, and it's kind of got something to do with COVID. It's called Poop Map. Every time you do a poop, you express that. Well, you write it and give yourself a review. You can follow me. My name is Sir Poopsington. Now obviously right now it's a bit boring because I only really poop in two places, the arena and at home. But in the future you'll be like, oh, Rob's in Thailand doing some streaming coverage and he's just done a poop in someplace. That's hilarious, amazing. How was it? And I'll be like, they don't have toilets. I have to do like a weird squat, and I had a great time.
Gonna bring up the weird squat. Awesome.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know if you want to join me on that. Maybe it's a bit much. I'm not sure why you left all the social medias. Was it just getting a bit heavy?
Just doing too much of it, man. Just doing too much of the social medias. I was sitting around just social mediaing, and I was like, shouldn't do this anymore. No need. What am I getting out of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Go on, Val, please.
Question from the floor. Pete, what are you going to do instead?
Sit on my couch. That's about it.
It's good.
Live that dream.
That's old, good.
My kids are in karate now. I'm going to teach them karate. I don't know karate, but they're in it. So they're going to teach me.
Quitting social
that way
media.
I don't have to pay.
Quitting social media and just like going back to sitting on your couch. Like next thing you're going to do is like start watching some live broadcast television. You're going to become you're like our version of like a historical interpreter of the perhaps early 2000s or late 90s.
Mm. Yeah. I feel
very brave.
I think I can
I'd
do
say.
That. Thank you. Thank you. I have long thought myself as a, you know, white middle-aged man to be brave. Just an absolute brave person.
Oh, yeah.
made the most brave choices anyone could make in my life.
I wish that you decided to leave most social medias so as to pursue a very dedicated career on TikTok. I feel you would excel.
I can't do the TikToks.
You can't do the TikToks. Why not?
So too much. There's dancing. I'm not very coordinated. I dance with my daughter to early aughts rap albums, and that's about the extent of it. So.
Well, I think maybe Val's the Zoomer wannabe, and you're the boomer
wannabe.
He really
is. I am. I want to be a boomer.
Oh, it's back now.
I want to have money, like Val. I want to be bougie.
Bougie. That's true.
Why? 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 It's an inauthentic experience. Yeah, I'm always wearing a mask. You don't want this life. You want to live the unmediated life.
Mm.
The one where you're just an anthropomorphic bird.
Living that dream. Living that dream.
Val, how have you been? And also, thank you to Scrivo for subscribing. Big love to you.
Who the fuck is that?
Scrivo, with the hair. Have you seen he's dyed his hair green?
He dyed his hair green. Mm-hmm. Still hasn't painted my picture yet.
I don't know about
it. Or whatever.
I don't know about
took
you guys,
the time
but
to do that.
I was recently added on the Facebooks by one Mrs. Scrivo.
Really?
Mrs. Scrivo. That's her name?
That's she's probably my third or fourth Val Heffelfinger female contact, which is just great. Really getting that ratio up. It's like club night when Rob's hosting at the Val Heffelfinger Facebook page. I recently recovered from my sickness. Which was excellent. I confederated with Wurzeg and took Skarsnik, Wurzeg, and two other dudes to Karak Eight Peaks and rather anticlimactically smashed the shit out of it.
Now
I've got the Eight Peaks and
you did it.
And like it's like turn 80, and at this point literally the rest of the continent is dwarves and humans, and yeah. I'm just like, well, that's good enough, peace guys.
You did it. You,
that's
you
what
won.
You won.
I won.
Turn 100 is when chaos enters the fray, though.
Yeah, but that happens so far north, like will that really help?
Yeah, because they do raiding, like even where you are they send like raiding
they're gonna raiding show
games.
Up
yeah
so many chaoses.
They love chaos love. They love it.
Slamadam Slangors. I think that's the new one.
Slamadam Slinging.
Slangagors.
Slangagors. Slangagors.
My question, not my question, but there's been a question in the chat. Pete has been, without access to Facebook, how will you keep up with the competitive 40K Facebook page and know what's good?
It's going to be hard. I'm going to struggle for a little bit, I imagine. But the hope is that I will come out of this anew, like a chrysalis, like in StarCraft when they put Kerrigan in the chrysalis, inside that chrysalis.
Mm-hmm.
I will explode out of it, just a new human being.
Oh, a reforging, you could say.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I'm already way more handsome than I was 48 hours ago, so that's like a big plus. Social media. Except for this,
how,
I don't know. I missed this part of my beard. It's a little off. Anyway,
How will you demonstrate your blessedness?
Sitting on my couch, eating some Cheetos.
But I won't know about it.
It's okay.
Well, I guess that's you could hashtag bless it from Twitter because you decided to keep Twitter.
Well, I'm not actually going to tweet. I'm just going to read Tom Layton's reports on Warhammer. That's really how I'm going to stay in touch with what's good.
That's
just
true.
Wait for him to send out tweets sporadically about ugly tank commanders. I'm proud of him, though. I'm proud
of
him.
We did a show on Sunday night, which I really, really enjoyed, with Neil from WTC. And there's been some TTS. There's a TTS tournament, mm-hmm. Greek Hammer TTS mm-hmm. tournament, mm-hmm. And we did the pairings, like sort of chat about it from the teams, and he did a really good job on that. And there was some really fascinating data, actually. Like it was fun talking about like first defenders, second defenders, third defenders, because it was teams of eight, and what that looked like. And it was interesting to see there was some parity. Like, second defenders for both teams were Harlequins, third defenders for both teams were Space Marines. And I was like, that's cool. That's some cool stuff. We did that show on Sunday night, and we're going to do that for the next few Sunday nights. I think it's the next six. So I really enjoyed that. That was super fun. Mm. And he did a really good job about that. Like being the techie insider as to why.
I would say on the social media piece, that I have contemplated killing the Facebook in favor of Twitter and Discord, because there are a lot of them. The social media bloat is real. There's a lot of bloat. And from what I understand, Facebook is some sort of an evil empire. I haven't looked into it.
But, no idea.
Apparently, it's not just some sort of benevolent and benign thing in our lives.
It wants to sell you stuff on Wish.com all the time.
But it's really changed. It's really changed as a social media platform anyway. Because really, when it was best is when you could just randomly poke people. That was the best time.
That's all I still want.
That's a long time ago.
That was the best time. That was the golden age. I would just be like, see that person poke, and they'd poke me back, and I'd be like, what a great day.
It was like we were all inside a chrysalis trying to get out, and we were poking at everywhere we could.
Does a chrysalis look like that thing that the villains and Superman were trapped in and then thrown into space inside of?
No, I think that's the Phantom Zone, and that's just a whole other thing.
That's I confuse the two all the time.
Outer dimensional area of space where the worst villains are kept so they don't hurt anybody or themselves.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I also don't enjoy the fact that when I mention that I use Facebook amongst the under 30 crowd, they're not impressed.
No, they're like, did you part your hair on the side too?
Normally, when it's not so long, yes, I do.
That's what they ask.
Apparently, not to make this a boomer show, but also jeans are out.
What does that mean?
Impossible. Like, not supposed to wear blue jeans.
Well, no, not blue jeans. Jeans in general. Like, apparently there's like a lot of mockery from the Zoomer generation of the older types. Like, why would you wear jeans as your casual clothing? Like, wear joggers. They're so much comfier.
I believe it. They are.
And I just I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know why you wear joggers. Just
let's see here.
Wabarol, please do poke me on Facebook. That would be good. Scrivo can confirm satin joggers. You're not a Zoomer, though, Scrivo.
Scrivo, you're old as shit.
Jack Vincent says, so is the Falcon coming back as the Phoenix? Is that what we're going to see? Rise of the Phoenix. We should ask Steve Jobs how he feels about it. Steve, what do you think?
Steve doesn't listen to this show. He's too nice.
He's on the show right now.
He's too good a person.
He's on the show. He thinks this show is a game changer. He's right there. You can see him. Like, there's his face. He does look like the janitor from...
I'm only looking at Skype.
Do you not think he looks like the janitor from Scrubs?
Yeah, a little bit. Just, like, too nice, though. He's too pure. He's too pure. There's some people...
To move the conversation on from where it was languishing in nowhere to somewhere.
This is my favorite. I like this way more than Warhammer.
Because I'm very in touch with the goings on of the world, I immediately Googled Gen Z versus jeans, and I've been getting the scoop. Appreciate the heads up. Apparently, it's specifically skinny jeans from what I'm seeing in the early reports.
Yeah. Yes. Don't do the skinny jeans. You want the high waisters. That's the way to go now. And no side part.
I want to point
part
out
in the
to
middle
man,
or don't part at all.
I'm going to. I think that's probably for the ladies. I'm going to talk to Dollies. Steve Joel is a goddamn legend. He's a literal morning show host from New Zealand. Works for a company owned by a Canadian company, which is hilarious to me. He's been to Toronto because his corporate overlords are based here, which I love. And he runs a show called 40K Game Changers, in which he is rapidly producing some of the best podcasting content that exists, aside from this show, and perhaps whatever Tom Layton does in his spare time.
I thought I'd bring him on because I know you guys love touting other people's media on the show. So I just thought I'd give you an opportunity to extol it or ex-jole it.
Love touting other people's media on the show as if like maybe we're trying to bring you in from the cold. That ice flow that you put yourself on and pushed yourself into the ocean.
I like where we are.
Kind of. You've smushed yourself inside this chrysalis, Rob. We're trying to get you to come out. We're just peeling away the outer layers like you're an onion. And then we're just going to get in there. You're going to bloom. You're going to be a flower or an insect or whatever a chrysalis turns into, a Zerg queen. It'll be great.
Okay. Yeah, no, I appreciate
that. I think
that.
That's your new nickname for me, by the way, is Zerg queen.
Zerg queen.
That should be your Twitter handle.
Zerkweek.
I'm sure no one's taking it.
Yep.
Zerkweek 69 is probably yours to have.
That's all I want. the question from Scriver is, if in 2021, what would your MySpace top 8? So that would be the, you would show, these are my bestest mates. Who would be your top 8? Mm-hmm. It's a tough one to ask because obviously all of us have to, we have to pad a lot of egos.
We do.
Like, we can exclude each other. That makes it easier.
Okay. Good. Good. Because yeah. I was going to struggle trying to fit you guys in. So that makes it easier.
I'll give you a moment to think about it.
Well, I mean, like anyone, I'm going to go with my two dogs, my mom, my dad, my wife, my kid. And then there's four more, and then none of them are you.
I like it.
Strong. Mm. Strong. Who is it? Then,
also,
Tom
I've
Layton
never.
Has to be in there.
Tom
I'd literally never had a MySpace page. I went straight from ICQ to MSN to Facebook. And then that's the evolution of my social media usage.
MySpace was too hard for me.
It's
too hard.
You're an indie boy, right?
Hmm?
You're an indie boy. You're not like a rock guy.
Yeah.
Don't understand in this context how that has anything to do with it.
Well, it's like it was more emo scene MySpace, wasn't it? Than
I see.
Yeah, Val was way more into Radiohead, like just too much
Pretty
into
much
it.
Just Radiohead. Yeah. I've seen Radiohead double digit times. There's nothing wrong with that.
How do you guys feel about Daft Punk?
I know about my feelings.
Ending.
Oh, so
that was
hard.
A little sad.
The thing I think the only thing that probably makes it sad is like. Realizing that if they've been together for 28 years, that they're probably in their 50s. And it's like, whoa. How old are they? They got to be old as shit.
I would say that, I watched their goodbye video, which I thought was fascinating. And it was as weird as they are weird people. So, like, I actually kind of appreciated it. I don't know if I wouldn't, I didn't, maybe it's because I've become, obviously, inundated with like crappy like American TV like films, and so I was like, I really wanted like the comic book helmet reveal at the end, you know, where I got to see them both and it kind of panned out. But I think maybe it's better that the myth is always there and you don't. I mean, you can find out what they look like if you Google it, but like, I think it's cool that you didn't, if that makes sense. From the performance piece, they didn't be like, we've been people all along. They were like, we're gonna go out as these robot automatons. I thought, I don't know if you've seen the closing video.
No, I haven't, and I would really like to. Also, you've inspired me to. Bam, got myself a Daft Punk face now. Life is better. Although this is a throwback Daft Punk face. I'm gonna go to something a little more classic. There you go.
Okay. what was the? There was a question in the chat. You guys aren't doing the top 8, I don't think. There's a question from Brian Pierce. What is the best for hobby needs? I don't know if you've got any thoughts on this, Val or Pete.
Oh, for Instagram versus Twitter?
Yeah, Instagram versus Twitter.
I mean, they're both good for what it is. I mean, if you want to see pictures of what models look like, because that's really all Instagram is from the Warhammer side, you're not going to get really too many tips and tricks on how to actually make it look that way.
Yeah.
The Warhammer Twitter community is also weak as heck. Like, there's very little. It's mostly just shit posting and then, like, occasional complaints about there being too many tomes of funny elf lords.
Hey, you know what I joined was because I've been pretty positive about Facebook social media these days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like the hobby spaces I inhabit not being horrendous and awful. This is actually, there's not a lot going on here, so I'm going to get rid of my robot face. But RIP, Daft Punk. Nonetheless, I'm not exposed to a lot of the toxicity that I once was because I have literally just selected it out of my life. I've left all the major groups. I don't, you know, participate in Mean Girl chats anymore. Thank God. STNT is long dead. The source of a lot of horrible trolling.
That is untrue, but continue.
That is so untrue. I'm in there.
It's not dead?
They just didn't want you back. It's okay.
Well, that's too bad.
At least
I haven't been the target of their trolling. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're not making content.
Oh. Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should plug some shows we should watch on this show. Anyway, I've lost my whole train of thought. Because now I realize that evil is still in this world when I thought previously it had left.
Do you know what? Actually, can I talk about something that actually, like, the evil doesn't seem very evil from what I saw.
It's much tamer now.
Yeah, a selective Facebook group full of people generally trolling on everyone, it seems. And, like, I don't have any dog in the race because I know almost no one in the chat. But there was a point in there which I thought was actually, and I talked about it on maybe this show or another show, which was actually really interesting in kind of a Mean Girls way, but that turned positive. There was a guy who clearly has some, like, very serious and outward mental health issues. I don't know, maybe his name's Ryan, I think is his name. Mm-hmm. But he talks about the Ares gunship, like, a lot, and he posts, like, mm-hmm. a lot of public posts. Mm-hmm. And initially there was, like, a lot of trolling, but then from this, like, I assume, pretty rambunctious group of gentlemen, the conversation turned I thought quite healthily to, like, this guy's clearly got a problem and we should, like, communicate that with him or to him, or someone should try to. That's the conversation I saw, which I thought was quite adult, really. There's, like, general mockery, which is generally fine, I think, and then there's, like, okay, you don't need to bully, like, someone who's, like, got real problems, which was quite significant. That's my only actual real kind of take from my experience with that group. Actually, I never saw anything particularly mean. But I wasn't in whenever the negatives. But I thought that was.
I mean,
actually...
it's been rebooted about 6 times. You're in like the Sigma phase of it.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm not in the true evil. Okay. All right. Nice. But yeah. Anyway, I thought that was nice, and showed me some sort of, like, responsibility that we can always have for each other. Because when people are, like, raging on, like, say, Twitter or Facebook, or mm-hmm. when they're doing some content and they're being, like, over aggro or whatever it might be, like, there's a good conversation to be like, look, that not only, like, yeah, that guy might be wrong in this particular instance, but people have hard days and they need a bit of a break. You know, you cut them a bit of slack and just be like, look, you're clearly having a rough time. Let's throw you some love some days. You know, you fucked up, but just apologize for fucking up and move on. I thought it was quite good. It had an effect on me in a positive. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's great. Whatever version you're looking at is definitely not the one that was incinerated in a fire, probably around a year ago. That was a good riddance moment for me.
Oh, good. All right, well, that's positive. Yeah.
But no idea what I was talking about anymore, so let's just move along. Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. It was a place that is a complete cesspit, which is... Warhammer the Old World, which was a group I joined because I've suddenly started thinking about fantasy and stuff because of Total War, obviously. And that is where all of the people who were really upset about AOS and remain upset about AOS have gone to. And it is one of the most toxic Facebook places I've been about Warhammer in a long time. And it's just horrible. I did not enjoy the reading the threads. Almost all of them are, like, so combative. It'll be the most innocuous post. Like, hey, look at my cool goblin. And then some are like, goblin's stupid. And it's just like, what? Anyway, I'm sheltered from all this stuff, I suppose.
What, the Warhammer, the Age of Sigmar stuff?
This is Warhammer the Old World. So it's a group that was started, I think, in anticipation of the new fantasy game.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd be honestly excited to see what that game looks like when it does come out.
Can't wait.
But I, the general scuttlebutt at the minute that it's going to be 15 mil, which I talked to you about last week, and we'll see where that ends up. That's quite interesting.
I think that's a fascinating concept. Pete, how does that hit you?
I mean, I'm a little sad because I have all these lizardmen just lying around that I was like, oh, it'll be fun to bring these back and not have to rebase them, and it'll be good times. And now I'm like, oh, well, now I need a completely new army. I'm still probably going to do it. But just, that was all.
If you're interested, Pete, your Seraphon or that Lizardman army is like Iron Hands level busted. If you would like to play competitive Age of Sigmar,
it's currently, what is it, 3,000 kilometers away from me ish.
It's about as far as I'd like every Seraphon army to be away from me, if I'm honest.
It's still like when I moved out here, I gave it to one of my friends and just said, hey, if I ever get back into the game, I might come back and take this, but you can have it. So my buddy Danny, I gave, I don't know, by the end of it, it was probably 9,000 old school points of Lizardmen. So he just has like two giant cases of dudes that he could stomp everybody's face with if he wanted to, by the sounds of things. Because I had like eight of everything. So
yeah, you can do pretty well, which is nice. Did you either of you ever play, because I know you've been in the hobby a long time, did you ever play small scale Hammer, like Epic or anything like that?
I wanted to. It was really, I guess when I, because it was around when I was playing, like first playing as a kid, obviously. And then it had its heyday. Like, it's fascinating to me to, like, go back and read about where, like, for example, Warhammer, like, Epic Armageddon went. Because Forge World really supported it. And it had a ton of awesome models that still exist that, like, are actually really hard to even to find, like, a complete list of. It became a really detailed range, and it seemed like an awesome thing. And then when Games Workshop had its midlife crisis and said, screw you guys, I'm going home. You know, it all vanished, and I think there's a real space for it. I mean, to me, 15 mil makes more sense. Like, it is such a more sustainable scale. You know, like, if you want to hold a big event featuring a bunch of people in a room doing this, having a smaller scale makes that way easier. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I actually just want to see the hobby side, to be honest, because if you've ever seen a picture of, like, old Epic Scale minis, nobody knew how to paint back then by the looks of things. They all look like garbage. Like just hot garbage. You look at them, you're like, you've never painted a thing before in your life, have you? So I really want to see, with all the you know, changes we've made in hobbying over the last 700 years, just where it goes. Like, because...
I think it's not necessarily the fault of the painters, but it's the fact that those models were little nubs of green stuff that they like poked a nut, like two eyeballs on and gave like little meat fists.
I want to see it because I'm assuming if this is where it is going.
Have you never looked at what happens when the 3D printers just make things small and then print them and they look like perfect tiny little space marines? It's absolutely astounding.
There was a guy that brought, I think it was SoCal last year. Maybe it was LVO. I'm pretty sure it was SoCal, not last year, but the year before now. He brought actual mini Marines because he had Marines with like knights, and he wanted them to be properly sized based off of the knights. So he had like 3D printed all his Marines as super duper tiny. He had brought real Marines too. So but for his display board, it was tiny Marines. It was really cute. I was into it. I was like, man, I like it. So
I'm with Pete. All of those old Epic armies look like hot trash.
I'm not denying this. They look bad, but there just wasn't a lot of detail on them, is what I was trying to say.
No, yeah, but no. Back then, people
didn't even know what airbrush was. They're like, I don't know. House paint, some varnish. Let's see what happens.
I also assume from those days. From having seen those armies and having seen them look like hot trash, I'm also in the assumption that it's harder to paint them because they're even smaller.
I think these days it wouldn't be, because you'd be able to, you could have an army painted to a reasonable standard of that scale just by giving it a good base color and then a wash. Like, Like, that alone would bring out any details that exist, and it's probably going to look more or less good enough for the size that it is, and then you can add details if you like. Like, it's, I don't know, the scale to me is just, it seems to, like, make more sense, but I guess 28 millimeter just does have, like, a visual, like, whoa. You don't have to lean in, you don't really have to lean in to see how cool a game of Warhammer is. Like, the models are big enough that it's clearly, obviously, how cool it is. Whereas if you walk past a game of Epic, you'd have to, like, really lean in there to be like, oh, wow, these are little guys. Like, that's neat. Oh, is that person's mm-hmm. skin flayed? Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's you know, a bit different. And by the way, the thing that I'm looking for, the group doesn't seem to exist anymore. What is happening in this world?
Maybe they shut it down. Lead.
Maybe they shut it down and created a new one, like Shit Talking and Tactics.
They were just like...
Let's get rid of that bell guy.
So, Dimitri and Jazz are a tad confused about the Tom Layton thing. So, Falcon and Val are friends with Tom, and therefore it's like it's jovial, collegiate banter, I think is the correct term, where they all... Val and Tom have been on the same ETC team, for example.
We were on one of the shittiest teams of all time. Yeah. Actually, that's not true.
It's now recorded in history.
I'm sure there were much worse teams. Like, we didn't go winless, so that's good. We didn't go winless. I went winless.
A question for you. Can I ask you both, actually, a question related to 40K? I know it's dangerously close. But, like, when you were in the ETC team, Val, did you ever, like, take part and or have conversations about the pairings? And how did you find the process? And then, Pete, the question to you, like... Have you ever been involved in pairings or seen team pairing stuff, and what are your thoughts on it?
So when I was on Team Canada, this was actually the advent of, I think, people algorithmically driving their pairings process with software. That was the year the States won, and I think one of their advantages was they actually did have things programmed into Python. We did not. And in fact, I barely had my pairings done because, to be honest with you, I had no idea what my army was capable of doing coming into it. We were supposed to, like, give exact scoring forecasts versus every potential matchup. And as I got about a third of the way through it, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do here. And so I just started doing, like, red, yellow, green, and I didn't even get through that. I was a pathetic excuse for a team player, but we were a bad team from top to bottom. It was a rotten to the core, with the exception of Ridvan, maybe Chris Haynes on a good day. And I think they rose from the ashes. They've rallied to in mm-hmm. response. Team Canada's on the up and up.
Their practice with Team Scotland and Wales there last week really showed that they've improved a lot, and they won that pretty handily. And their current go in the Greek Hammer tournament isn't going as well. They're struggling a little bit, but still, like, they're showing some pretty good chops. I'm pretty impressed with our boys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you both about the national pride in a moment, but yeah, Pete, any thoughts on teams and pairings generally? Anything you've looked at in detail?
I mean, it's my favorite part of team tournaments. When I've been asked in the past to do stats on it, it's like the main reason why I don't, because it's really opaque. There's very, right? And so in order for me to kind of get into the nitty-gritty of team tournament statistics, I really need to be able to see how that goes, the process. Everybody does it differently. But even the end results, I just can't receive sometimes until, like, well after the fact, so it's not worth it.
Can you imagine how cool it's going to be when the WTC finally kicks off and they're doing pairings entirely on Best Coast pairings, Down Under pairings? And, like, that process for the first time will be fully detailed and able to be tracked in real time.
But there's other stuff I want to see that won't be still.
Such
right?
As?
Like estimates. I want to see the estimates. I want to see what they thought they were going to get. I want every team to be able to put down, this was going to be a 20-0 for us. This was going to be a 16-4. This was going to be a 10-10. Because that's what I'm most interested in, I think. When it comes to these pairings and creations, like, who's taking a dip here? Why did you do it? I want to get into that. That's a story.
Yeah, 100%. I think they are.
That's a way better story. than anything else.
The thing that was fascinating for me, having just done it on Sunday, again, go back and watch the Sunday evening show, and it's a podcast as well, but we put some graphics up with it, is when they chose, like, so when the defender goes in, obviously, like, you have to be like, I'm going to take anything that's coming, especially first defender goes in under that bus. And then, so, like, that's a big play. Like, who's your first defender in a team? End of conversation. I guess the enemy, like, well, the enemy, sorry, the opposing team's composition is relevant to who is first defender ultimately, and dragging out those bad matchups. But watching that those players ended up going, both, this is only one match, but both of those first defenders for the two teams took 5 and 6 points respectively out of that match. So like in the 20-0 system, so they didn't get floored is the point, and then they took out what was relatively a bad matchup. I think I agree with you. I think it's most interesting if they'd expected to get a 0 and 5 was actually impressive. I think that's a great story and really interesting to get that granularity, but I still think it's at least relevant that they go in as first defender and what can they do in that situation and the board type they're going into, and then also relevantly, which one of the two did they pick to not get bust by, or not get like, or like, did they pick, like, I think you could spend like a fucking hour on a pairing show every time. Like, they're fascinating, I think, like, when it relates to generally 40k, and then if you got the results to hand. So
because the results don't matter unless you compare them to what was expected when it comes to team tournaments. You can't look at somebody and be like, wow, he had 7 games where he 20-0'd. That's incredible. That's not to say that he wasn't just fed baby seals literally every round on purpose.
May have just hit expectations. Yeah.
Right. Like, so that's not exciting. Right. What's exciting is to look at expectation versus reality, cross compare and work from there. It'll be way bigger when we're capable of doing that. I just don't think we're going to. I think all we're going to get are scores. Somebody to do first defender, etc. But
so
we're not going
to
have estimates.
So ignoring WTC for a moment, which obviously I've got to do new coverage of, I also have and vaccines and also Boris's roadmap and a bunch of other stuff. But I have, like, whenever they happen, I have at least 3 Age of Sigmar team tournaments to do coverage of. Let's say in the next year, or not in the next year. Let's say everything gets pushed to 2022. They're still viable events that I'm going to and doing coverage of, not including any other. And also I've got Super Series, and I've also got, like, 40K Super Series and some other team tournaments. So, like, that's quite a lot. So I'm, like, personally very, very invested in, like, creating or working out how we create those data sets. So I think it's fascinating you said that not only do you want to know, like, knowing the information is half the battle, like, fucking hell, just even just saying to these teams from the Greek Hammer thing, like, thanks to Neil, I was like, hey, Neil, could you get me this? They're like, oh, they're not going to want to tell you. I was like, well, fucking tell them. Like, there's no choice. And Neil was like, nah, good point. I was like, it's the USP. It's the key kind of, like, component that's most interesting. And then in the future, I think it's going to be the most interesting thing. Like,
there's... I think that the team, this is just riffing on what you guys are talking about. You want to know what the team thinks they're going to do. That's pretty proprietary. That's the special sauce for, you know, pairing strategy for sure. Like, for example, like in the example I was giving, I literally didn't know what my army could do. Okay. So that's like the worst possible tier of being able to predict, right? But there are teams that, like, invest tremendous amount of time and resources and reps and practice, I assume, to hone, you know, their metrics so that they actually are somewhat accurate with what they predict. So that would be interesting to see how accurate their predictions are or not.
It's something that can just be done in post. We don't need it in advance.
The meta moves fast enough that maybe you could do such a thing. But what I would be saying is, like, you could probably generate your own guesses too. You could use existing statistics to at least have a baseline so that, you know, so that you could use that as a place to start from.
Why would you think that would be an issue, Pete? That's fascinating.
He doesn't like the idea because it's not going to be accurate, because it's not going to be a team matchup situation. You're going to use data from singles.
You'd have to use data from singles, or you'd have to pull previous team data, which is already muddied because we don't know why they did the way they did. Mm-hmm. We don't know the tables that they're using. We don't know all of these things. Sure, we can get somebody on that does teams, but now we're using a single person. There's no in my mind, there is very little reason why after an event has happened, you don't need the whatever they used. You can just get the scores. We peg this as a 20-0. We peg this as an 18-2. That's all we need. And I mean, people can fudge that, whatever, but that's probably the best you're going to get because teams are so protective of this data sometimes, not all the time. But like, that's what it's the best you're going to get, at least for now. And then, yes, once you get to a point 6-7 events in, you don't need them to do that anymore because you can use Python. You can use something like that where you can generate all this information as long as table data stays the same, for example. And you should be able to reliably predict on your own. And sure, it might be different from what the team expected, but at least now you have a baseline you can use. Right now, we don't have a baseline because everything's been so hidden or just not tracked at all because, you know, applications that have been used are older or they're really only there like as an Excel spreadsheet number to put a 20 or a 0 in. So
I think the other thing is too is that we just don't have a good, like there's not enough reps to have generated a good data set. Like for example, if you started collating results from a series of like say we had as many team events as we do singles events. Within a week or two, you're going to be able to reverse engineer probably better pairings data than people could guess at. You would know in reality.
Probably about 6 weeks, but yeah.
Sure, whatever. You know, like you would know with a greater fidelity what other people's gut takes were. So like your data would get better than the field's way fast because you would have actuals probably. Would be my guess. My general suspicion is. Actually, I have no idea. I'm talking out of my ass. I want to say like, that they're probably not that accurate, but then again, I'm full of shit. So maybe that's.
And here's the other
I
thing.
Just want like, that to be.
Lists are skewed, right? That's the other thing. So just because I get a data sheet that says Necrons played into fucking whatever, like, I don't know what that, like, that Necron list could be completely different. It could be Silver Tide. It could be, like, Triple Monolith or some other crap. Like, and it completely changed how the game's played. And it completely changed the reason why, like, they're put into certain.
I agree. I think that's
fundamentally,
often skews that way.
That's fundamentally also, like, going to be one of the most vulnerable criticism of any metadata that you get about Warhammer. Like, like a Necrons, if there are a number of viable builds for a given army, you know, the metadata on matchups isn't going to be particularly accurate because it's going to perform differently in different situations. So I think that's going to be always going to be a criticism.
But here's the thing when it comes to that.
No.
When it comes to singles play, generally you're going to have enough data that gets smoothed out and there's only going to be outliers, right? It's what you see with stuff like Magic the Gathering. When they get thousands and thousands of games, you can look at a deck and you can just see red and you know, okay, I know like 90% of what that deck is because when there are reps being put in, the lists end up generally collating to the same thing because even though there might be two or three things that are viable, there's only ever one that gets played more than the others, either because it's easier or because it wins more, right? Even if it's a slight amount, people will figure it out. And what we've seen in the last few years is exactly that. Even when there's been multiple builds for a faction, there's always going to be one that just like way outweighs the others. An example would be when Eldar were really strong early eighth. You know, 90% of people played Ally Talk, some kind of flyer spam or wave serpent spam. Even though there were other competitive builds in that early stage, when we saw that with other factions as well. So I don't think that's quite the same. Whereas with team tournaments, you'll often see people like hard skew in multiple directions. And maybe that would be something that changes if we had a ton of them, I guess. We'll have to see if that ever happens.
The other thing is too, is because you're also looking at very specific combinations and matchups on top of the skews. Like there's just not a lot of,
it's
reps.
Skew into skew, and yeah, there's a lot
and
going
you also,
on.
And then there's the terrain variation as well. So like, it there's just so much that it would be hard to get that you would need a lot of team tournaments. Which if I could maybe pivot away from something that makes me uncomfortable because apparently I'm completely fucking wrong, would be what do you guys think about the rise of team tournaments? Now that like when we're coming out of COVID, I think singles was already groaning at like its size. Like the LVO is a dumb event that does not need to exist. Like a 1,000-person singles match is cool, but once you've done it, it's like, okay, what's the point of that? I feel like team events, when you're getting into situations where you can easily have these massive 250-plus events, team events make a lot of sense, and they're probably the best way to play Warhammer, period.
Can I go back? I'd like to touch on it, like, but can I go back and actually just talk about that pairing a bit one more time, just quickly, and just
God,
10 cents.
Damn it. Yeah, I guess you are the host. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that I agree with you both about granularity and Falcon. Like all of the points that you've just raised, I think are also super valid as well. Like actually getting genuine predictable data probably is close to impossible. Not that it won't be important. Like it won't be important to generate some information. That's kind of where my point is at. Like, and that's why like a lot of what we talk about. And a lot of why I think Warhammer coverage can be so exciting is because it's not as definitive black, white, yes, no, these will win. Like, there are plays, right? Like, and that means that that's quite exciting because for an audience and for a live game, I genuinely find that interesting. Like, if pairing Necrons into Death Guard is a great decision for Necrons every time, like, we know that, it becomes less interesting. Like, and like the coach is like, you know, this is a 20-0. This is a 20-0 for the Necrons. That's why we've gone for it. However, if it's paired in and we know, there's a couple of cases where Necrons beat Death Guard, but actually this is a very different build. Like, these are the strengths, these are the weaknesses. It just gives you a great opportunity, again, to talk about why the game is so intricately beautiful. Like, this Necron build with Triple Monolith is very distinctively different to hordes and hordes of warriors, like, and they're going to play very differently because of the weapon loadouts we're seeing on Death Guard. And that, it just creates a lot of, like, conversation about the game and the interaction of itself other than numbers, like, and becomes story-orientated, which I feel like coverage is very story-orientated. And I think the numbers are super, super valuable, but I feel like that it adds depth and intrigue to a game that kind of needs it in some ways. Like, there needs to be extraneous information sometimes around the game other than the granularity of inside the game. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, am I making sense?
I think so. Also, it opens up the, like, not having perfect detail and information, which would be nice to have. But if you think of, like, any sporting situation, like, you don't get to find out what the coach thought every single matchup that was favorable was even after the game. They're probably going to keep some of that close to their chest. You will find out about it in analysis and looking to see what the team did. But like you're not going to find out exactly what's up. And I think that also opens up the world for experts like Pete, like Adam Camilleri, who could look at matchups and do a hot take on that at that moment as to whether or not they thought the pairings went well and why they think that. That's ultimately what analysts do, because they have to try and interpret what a team is attempting to accomplish and whether or not they think that, you know, it went to plan or didn't. I think imperfect information, you're right, Rob, does open up opportunities for different narratives and ways
and
to tell stories.
And discourse, right?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, and talking shit about it, hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that is the fun, right? Especially, I think, like, commentators or analysts, like, however you want to look at it, like, if Pete's like Pete's someone who, like, doesn't mind, like, throwing an opinion out there and then being like, oh, well, that was fucking totally wrong, or, like, I nailed it. So, like, if he's like, this matchup, what a great call, he's going to play this into this, and then it just turns out to be a fucking disaster the other way around, Pete will be like, oh, boy, I wasn't expecting that at all. which is fun, right? I don't think you mind being wrong. Like, you'd like to try and work it out. That's the key point, right? It's Warhammer is pretty much an unlockable infinite puzzle. Like, and then when you throw teams at it to bring what Val's coming back to, it you add a layer of complexity and depth upon it that, yeah, maybe four or five people in the world can, like, break it down. Maybe. Like, that's pretty unique, right? Like, it's very complicated.
Well, who aren't playing at a high level? I think that's the fun thing about Warhammer is, like, there's a limited amount of people who've decided not to play in favor of talking about it, right? So, but yes, there are right now, in an entertaining way, a very small amount of people who could make that chat happen. One of which is on the show. Two, maybe even on the show. Not me.
Hey,
it's Pete
and
Steve Joel.
So what do you think? What do you think? Pete, what do you think of team events? Answer Val's question that he asked.
I love them. I think I really think team events are the way to go, and I hope this push by FLG with the Las Vegas team tournament and the talk of more in the future is something we see other event organizers grab onto and run with. I want this to be a thing. Val and I have talked in the past about how we wish that there was a, you know, centralized body for this with, you know, at least some kind of minimum rule set as to how the teams function, just so that, you know, everybody's on the same page, because I want it to be big. I think it's I'm not going to say it's better. I've said it's better in the past than singles. I don't think that's necessarily true. It's different. And that's probably why we think it's better right now, because it's different. Mm. It's definitely super exciting. The stories that you get out of a team tournament are far different than out of a singles event. And that's all that matters to me. I just want to, I want a good story. I want people to talk about the event afterwards. And
I speak there's mostly just
so many good stories you can tell.
I speak mostly from a participant angle. Like, I love singles events. I will continue to go into singles events, but they're, like, I found, like, participating in team events just thrilling. Like, especially the club ones that I've done in and around Ontario. So, like, they have the Canhammer team tournament here. Hands down, was my favorite event to attend, you know, with a group of friends to go out and try and win one of those things. And I just think it's just nice that, you know, you're there with a crew, and regardless of how it goes, you know, you've got your pals together, and it's great. And I know, like, people talk so fondly of the ATC in the U.S. too, where it just becomes this, like, hilarious, like, RV tailgate party and slash Warhammer tournament. You know, there's a very different thing, but there's the Adepticon team tournament, more of like a hobby pageant. But nonetheless, is sort of team-based. There's just something about being able to, like, go as a group and then play against other groups of people. There just seems to be a nice, fun multiplier there.
I think it's because it's the key tenet for why people ever get into Warhammer in the first place. That's not meant to be disrespectful of any element of the game that, or the hobby, sorry, that people love, be that painting or anything else. But the sense of community and belonging works most well, obviously, like, if you read any, like, singles versus... that, there's loads of psychological studies on this. People always want to be included in the in-group. It's just how human beings are, right? Like, religion, politics, fucking football teams, pick a thing. Everyone picks a side and picks a thing that they want to be involved with. And Warhammer's that thing. So if you give the opportunity to in-group themselves, they love it, which is great. Because then they also get to criticize out-groups, which is also another lovely human trait. anyway, all right, I've kept you guys long enough. Thank you for the lovely chat about things. Also, I'm just going to quickly, Falcon, you were making a TV suggestion. I would love you to watch Wayne, if you ever get the opportunity. It's on YouTube.
Wayne.
Or it's Wayne. Just Wayne. Wayne. Okay. One season, 30-minute episodes, super quick. Real.
Is that the name Wayne, or the show is waning, and what kind of Wayne?
The show is called Wayne.
But is that W-A-N-E or W-A-Y-N-E?
W-A-Y-N-E. Like, gotcha. You could finish it today, and if you just sat on the couch, and I think it's uplifting. Also, End of the Fucking World, which is Wayne.
Mm-hmm. I watched that already.
So. Have you watched season two?
Yes.
Oh, how good was that? Like, I loved
it was good.
That.
It was really good. I was really impressed.
Yeah, I loved that.
Is it literally End of the Fucking World?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What platform is this?
Netflix.
Oh, I missed this. Neat. I learned good. So many things on this show. This is great.
I've been watching Superstore on Netflix recently, which isn't bad. I like it. Thought it was pretty funny.
It gets a bit weird in the second season, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just finishing season one, so thank you for letting me know that it'll get weird. I was talking to Rob pre-show about Kevin Can Go Fuck Himself, which isn't out yet, but guys, go watch the trailer. It looks fantastic. I'm super into everything that thing is about. So I'll be watching it, and hopefully it's good. And... other than that, I've been watching Parks and Rec with my wife at night because she never watched it the first go, and I only watched occasional episodes. So,
massive, massive shout out to Ron Swanson. the hero that I want to be. you guys got any shout outs before we head out today?
I was on Chapter Tactics last night, again, a non-Honest Wargamer show, and it featured another non-Honest Wargamer show called Mob Rules.
Mob Rules.
I got to say, Mob Rules, and John and Danny were with us. Danny might be the nicest man I have ever talked to in Warhammer.
I do have a Danny story too, that will completely change your opinion of him.
Good.
Okay, so picture this. Uh-huh. LVO 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, you got this in your mind?
Yeah, I was there.
I'm walking around with that heavy pack. The battery just burned my hand because it wasn't taped on properly. I was a little kerfuffled trying to get you guys game info. I see Danny McDevitt's playing somebody else at this table. I walk over. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good old matchup. Danny's a really cool guy. I'm going to get an update for the crowd. Iron Hands into Orcs, I think it was. And I walk over to the table, and I'm standing there, and this is what I hear. Danny's looking at his opponent, and he goes, listen, I don't mean to be persnickety, but I have no idea how the fuck any of your models got to be where they are right now. And it was the most, like, passive aggressive. I mean, the fact that he dropped persnickety into it. Oh, man. I was like, this is probably the wrong time to be here. And I walked away. So.
Also, I just want
to
say. I don't
mean to be persnickety, but I was like.
That is clearly the way a nice guy calls out someone for cheating. So I'd say that's a fantastic story that reinforces my point. Because I'm on a losing battle on points today, guys. I think I got crushed, but that's all right.
You did good.
You had some good ones. There was the take about
We're going. Thank you to both of you for getting up early and being on the show. You're both wonderful people, and I appreciate you much. I appreciate the Twitch chat loads as well. Please do join me tomorrow. Darren is on doing some list diaries, so join us for tomorrow for that if you're even more interested. And I'll see you again for the rest of the week. Have a great day. Look after yourself. See you soon. We'll be right back.